Let's take our Bibles and turn this morning to the book of Psalms chapter 120 and 121 is where we'll be in the Word of God. And I'm thankful for these Psalms. And we've been in Psalm 133 for two Wednesday nights, and the Lord led me to preach on unity and how I thank God for the unity that the church has experienced throughout this mess that we've been in now for a year. I believe it was in March, it was one of the Sundays in March, when they called for the churches not to meet. So we should be just about a full year into this thing, and I'm so glad for the vaccinations. I'm so glad the numbers are going down. I will say that people are still leaving this world over this stinking virus, and many of them, I'm sure, are leaving for other reasons, but counted to the virus, if you know what I mean. But God has a plan. We could be ready to leave this world, whatever it is that takes us out. Amen. Whether it's an accident or whether it's the laws of nature, whatever it is that takes us out, the main thing is to be ready when the Lord calls us home. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. The Word of God, I'm going to read two verses. The first verse in chapter 120, and the first verse, or I'll read three. I'll read the first two verses in chapter 121. In verse number, chapter 120 and verse 1, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." How many's glad we have a God that hears us? In chapter number 121, the first verse says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." If correctly read, I pray these verses will speak to our hearts this morning. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father in heaven, I stand here today, Lord, depending upon you to make, Lord, our lives a blessing to your dear people. Thank you for the offering, the singing. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's, Lord, contributed to the service today. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We know, dear God, that if anything is accomplished of eternal value, we know, Lord, that you have to do it. I pray, dear Father, that you'd help Hannah. I pray, God, that she'd be able to keep her hand. I pray, Lord, that she'd be able to heal up, be able to get back and do the things that she loves to do. I pray for our precious mother, God, that you would encourage her and strengthen her. Lord, I know she's not slept last night. Give her some rest. I pray, dear Father, that you'll touch our dear brother Gary. Lord, I pray that you would help him to heal. Lord, I pray that that doctor can help Sister Jenna relieve that pain in her back. God, will give him credit and give you the glory all at the same time. Lord, you're good to us. I pray, God, you'd help us to be good to you, to be good to each other, to be, Lord, a good influence in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. These psalms of degrees, or songs of degrees, if you want to call them that, that would be Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, are scriptures, it's believed, that were sung on the way up to Jerusalem to worship. And as I looked and reviewed, and this has been on my heart for days, studied, tried to make a few notes last night. My son-in-law came through. They had been out to visit with the family, and they had come through, and he said, "Are you studying for tomorrow?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am, but I'm kind of wrestling. I'm unsettled. I'm uneasy, so to speak." I said, "But I've learned not to worry. I used to sometimes be up, and Brother John, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, just trying to get settled. And I don't say it boastfully, but the older I get, the more I learn to trust him. The more that I understand that I don't have to know everything right now. In his time, he'll come through." And so I've been in these two psalms, and the first three words of the first song that's given as a song of ascent is "In my distress." I closed my Bible and walked away from the dining room table. I hadn't been away from the table 15 minutes when I got the news about Hannah, when I got the news about her hand. He said, "Preach, that's not a big deal. I promise you it would be if it's your hand. I promise you it'd even be more of a big deal. Help me, Mom and Dad, if it's your baby's hand." Because you understand, to start with, Brother Rick, they didn't even know if they could save the youngin's hand. They thought they might have to amputate her hand. And the Spirit of God, Brother Steve, in prayer began to speak to my heart about folk that are in distress. Right now you may be enjoying the time of your life, and I hope that you are. But I hope that you'll understand that before the sun goes down today, you could be facing one of the greatest times of distress in your life that you've ever faced. I have a first cousin that lost his son, I told you about, 29 years old. I'll not go into the situation, but the situation was not good. It could be described in a three-letter word, sin. But there's a mother and a father whose hearts are broken. It doesn't matter, beloved, listen, how you lose them. Just when you lose them, it's going to be a time of distress. And so I thought it was strange when I really began to think about how that, to start off, the very first song, if you please, would talk about "In my distress." I'll say some things today that I hope and pray will be a blessing. I want you to look, just by way of introduction, at the little word, "my." This is personal. It's my distress. Beloved, I'll say this morning. God's people will pray one for another. You understand what I mean? We will bear one another's burdens. But it wasn't you getting your chest sawed open last Monday morning. It wasn't pastor getting his chest sawed open last month. Everybody understand where I'm coming from. I'm telling you, beloved, there'll be times of distress. Don't matter how close someone is to you, you're going to be able to say, "It's my distress." It's personal. Watch what the Word of God said in Psalm 121. "I will lift up," what's the next word? "Mine." Or in our generation, in our English language, we would say, "my eyes." Beloved, just as the problem is personal and the distress is personal, so also is the deliverance. It's up to you and I where we're going to turn our eyes in times of distress. We could look on the inside. Some call it the power of positive thinking. I call it the power of positive stinking. Say amen. Listen, we can look on the inside and try to find the help that we need. We can look to our friends and try to find the help that we need. But thank God the psalmist is telling us, the psalmist is instructing us, the place to look is up to the one that made you and I, to the one that cares for you and I. There's three things I want us to see in these times of distress that I hope and pray will be a blessing to us. Three things God wants us to know. Number one, He wants us to know that He hears us. The Word of God said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. But it didn't just stop right there. You know what the Word of God says when we ask? Let us ask. Let Him ask in faith. The Word of God is teaching us here, beloved, there's not just somebody crying out and hoping the prayer goes through, but there's somebody crying out, beloved, and knowing that on the other end of the line is a God that never slumbers, never sleeps, that's never, beloved, unaware of our need. As a matter of fact, the Word of God said He knows what we need even before we ask, but He said, ask and you shall receive. He knows what we need. Thank God He does. I'll tell you this. You may not like it. It's hard on a man's pride. But there's times when we think we know what we need. We really don't know what we need. But God knows what we need. God knows what we need. And thank God He's there. Well, He wants us to know that He hears us. We ought to memorize some scriptures concerning prayer. We ought to quote those scriptures concerning prayer. We ought to know, beloved, listen, that there's a God in heaven that said, call unto me. I will answer thee. I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what the Bible said. You and I, when we use the phone, sometimes we get an answer. Sometimes, well, I guess you don't really get a busy signal on a cell phone. I don't know how that happened. That brings you back to a landline. That was years ago. Sometimes it goes directly to voicemail. Sometimes there's a message. Now, I like this message. You've reached Steve Lyons. No. That's not what his says anyway. I don't think it does. If it does, he'll probably change it after this message. Because I'm thinking when I'm listening to that message, no, I didn't. If I'd read Steve Lyons, I'd be talking to Steve Lyons. Brother Coulter's got a message on his phone. You have reached Coulter's cell phone. Now that's what you reached. Amen. When we talk to God, it doesn't matter what nationality we are, what language we speak. When a person has been born again and bows their head and bows their heart and humbles themselves in the presence of an almighty God, God hears their prayer. God hears us. That's the first thing that God wants to speak to our heart about today. He hears us. Well, let me ask you this. Knowing that, how much do we call on Him? How much time do we spend? How much time do we spend? The songwriter years ago wrote a song entitled Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I don't know, beloved, but I wouldn't doubt that there's a lot of born-again, truly born-again believers that very seldom spend sweet 5 minutes in prayer. You fellowship with someone you love, and God wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to know, especially beloved, in times of distress, that He hears us. The second thing I see in the text today is God is not only in the hearing business, but He's in the helping business. God doesn't just hear us, but God will help us. We're going to see Beloved, listen, I believe that God helps us many times, when we're even unaware that He's helping us. I believe that the Word of God is teaching us here when the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. We talked about the word my. It's my distress. It's my help. David's God is personal. I'll tell you, beloved, listen. David is looking in the right direction. He's looking to the right person. He's looking to the deliverer for his help. I thought about this. I thought about knowing that God delivers many times and helps us when we're not even aware of His help. I heard a little tale years ago about a fellow. If you've never worked on a tin roof, this probably don't mean a whole lot to you. Used to, we used to nail tin down with what they called a lead-headed nail. Do you remember those, Brother Steve? The lead is what was soft enough to seal around the nail. And then they went to a nail with a neoprene washer. And now they went, Brother Preston, to screws because they don't back out nearly as easy and they hold. Well, this fellow was working on a roof, and he slipped and he fell. And all the way to the gutter, he was crying out, Oh, God, help me. Lord, help me. Said about that time his feet were dangling over the gutter. A nail was sticking up in the tin. It caught him by the seat of the britches. And this is what he said, Never mind now, Lord. The nail's got me. That's about where we are sometimes. We refuse to acknowledge that all of our help comes from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. David's God is personal. David's God, a beloved, is powerful. David said, I'm lifting up mine eyes into the hills. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with power? I'm talking about, listen, a God that spoke the world into existence. And surely if He can do that, whatever it is that has my heart in distress, He can handle that as well. I want you to think about something. A time of distress is generally a valley experience. Well, there's something I want you to think about. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully right here. In order to have a valley, you've got to have two mountains. And so you've come down off of a mountain, and you're in a valley. But listen to me this morning. The God that made that mountain in front of you will help you to get to the top of it. Life is full of hills and valleys. It's not all a mountaintop experience. And thank my God, it's not all valleys. Amen. But God wants us to know that He has power and that He can help us. David's God is a God that's personal and powerful. He's a God that preserves. The Word of God talks about in verse number 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, or he that keepeth thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Listen to me this morning. God is in the keeping business. God didn't buy me with His Son's precious blood to throw me back. Brother Gary, in that text message he sent me this morning, said, Pastor, He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I want you to understand this morning that God, it's God that preserves us. It's God that keeps us. There's two kinds of people in the world. Those that are trying to keep themselves and those that are trusting God to keep them. Those that are trying to keep themselves are miserable. Those that are trusting God, beloved, listen, are happy. Those that are trying are living a life of defeat. Those that are trusting are living a life of victory. Because I realize my life is not in my hands. It's in His hands. The Word of God teaches us. We see a kind provision here. We have access to His throne. He heard me. In the provision of God, we have people to journey with. Brother Steve, these are throngs of people that are going to worship. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Pentecost. Going up to Jerusalem together. They're not alone. I believe one of the devil's favorite tools is to corner God's people and make them feel like they're alone. I thank God, not only do I have a Father in heaven that cares for me, but I have many friends on the earth. Amen. God's people. God's family. We have a people to journey with, and then we have a promise at the end of the journey. In my distress, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Not so I told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is going to get his prayer in John chapter 17 answered finally and fully when the bride of Christ comes home. He said, Father, I will also that those that thou hast given me will be with me. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. We see God's keeping power. Not only a kind provision, beloved, that God helps us with, but He keeps us. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read a few verses here. I believe will be a blessing in your hearing this morning. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody say that with me? Blessed be the God and Father. Come on. Blessed be the God and Father. Come with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. I believe the children of Israel, even as they're headed up to Jerusalem, even as the first three words are in my distress, in their hearts they're rejoicing. They know the next song is coming. I'll not stay in my distress. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He said, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. At the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, no one here seen Him. How many here loves Him? Would you wave at me? Whom having not seen, you love. And though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe this time of distress quickly turns into a time of deliverance. The time of defeat quickly turns into a time of victory, because they stop looking down. They stop looking around and they looked up. Several years ago, matter of fact, it was just before my dad went to heaven. I thought about my dad the whole time I was building it. I have a condominium in the woods. It's a deer stand. You'll get it after a while. It's built out of scrap this and scrap that. And there are many turkeys and deer and bear that would to God it had never been built. When I built it, I thought to myself, Brother Don, someone may want to pull up in here one day and see what's going on. When you look out the front window of the stand, it goes straight up the hill. Across the front of the stand, I wrote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Say, Pastor, what do you do up there when it gets cold? You close the windows. You turn the heater on. And you just wait. I got tickled. I was thinking last night, often, Sister Kim, I would send Brian a picture. And the caption would be, a view from the Odell window. Brother Brian gave me the old windows that came out of his house. Can you use them, Pastor? Oh, yeah, I got a plan. Some of them are in Virginia. Some of them are in Illinois. And if I live very long, there'll be a set in Tennessee. But something happened very funny the last time I was in Illinois last fall. I sent him a picture, and this is what he said, Sister Kim. He said, that window sure is clean. I sent him a text back. I said, Brother Brian, it's open. And then I reminded him of Grandpa on Hee-Haw. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? And he sticks his head out the window. We had a time. But I don't sit down in that stand without thinking about my dad. When I was building it, Brother Steve, I could just see Dad getting him a big buck out of that stand. And he didn't make it. But I want you to know this. I'm still going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help every day of my life is coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The keeping power. He said in verse 7 he would keep us from the evil. In verse number 3, he's going to keep us in the path. He's not going to suffer our foot to be moved. The Bible said over there in the book of Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the Bible teaches us, beloved, that God will keep our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. God wants to keep us. In a time of distress, God wants us to know He hears us. God wants us to know He'll help us. And then thirdly and lastly, God wants us to know we can find hope in that time of distress. You see, in chapter 120, the psalmist is looking at the situation. In chapter 121, the psalmist is looking at the Savior. In chapter 120, he's looking at the creature. If you read it all, he said, deliver me from lying lips, deceitful tongue. The Bible said, the false tongue, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. In chapter 20, he's looking at the creature. In 120, in 121, he's looking at the Creator. In chapter 120, he's looking down in a time of distress. In chapter 121, he's looking up. The hills, the same God that created the mountain, the same God that created the heaven and the earth, was the God that was going to give him hope. I read this, and I'll close with this morning. I'll say again, you may not be going through a time of distress right now. Before the day's end, who knows? Before the week's end, who knows? The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during their stays in the city's hospitals. One day a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. She said, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in the class now, and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. "Sister Dorothy, when I read that, I thought about your husband. In all the years I've been in this world, I've never seen a sight to compare. Was it Chattanooga? Is that the burn center where they took him to?" "It was, wasn't it? My memory's not real good. But I remember what I saw when I got there." Here's a little boy that was badly burned. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered and she told him, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt that she hadn't accomplished much. We've all been there, haven't we? But the next day, a nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" The teacher felt she must have done something wrong, and she began to apologize. "No, no," said the nurse. "You don't know what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy, but ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization. He expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send the teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" All he needed, Sister Terry, was a little bit of hope. I'm telling you, this world is full of people. All they need is a little bit of hope. Can I tell you, beloved, you and I that are here, that are saved by the grace of God, we know what they need. Let me rephrase it and get it right this time. We know who they need. The God of all hope. The God of all comfort. He lives in me. If you're born again, He lives in you. And we cannot afford to keep Him to ourselves. Let's share Him as we go forward this week. Let's realize, beloved, hope is not going to be found in the bottom of a bottle. It's not going to be found. I've been trying to keep our road cleaned up recently. I just hate for the road to just be all trashed up. I'm not too good to pick up trash. But somebody, at first, Brother Ricky had aggravated me. One fella, it might be a woman. I mean, women drink too. I don't know who it is. But they're drinking this little bottle, little pint of something. Bob looked it up this morning. It's cheap, $2 and something a bottle. If I haven't picked up 50 bottles, I haven't picked up one. And I'm talking about an eighth of a mile stretch of road. And got it all picked up. There's three new bottles this morning. To start with, Brother Steve, I was aggravated. I mean, good night. Throw in a trash can. The only thing you'll catch me throwing out the window of my car is a banana peel or an apple core, something that's biodegradable. And if you throw trash out on the road, God help you. You say, well, that's what they got them prisoners for. Well, that's, I guess, why I enjoy picking up trash. I feel like a prisoner again. Brother Steve, the other day, Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I know what I used to be, Brother Larry, before I got saved. Grace of God, it ain't me. What that man needs is not somebody to fuss at him. He needs a drink of living water. If he gave him a drink of living water, he wouldn't have to drink that rotten gut stuff down here in this world. Say amen. What he needs is some hope. People looking for hope. Looking for it in a bottle of pills. Looking for it in a joint. Looking for it bottom of a bottle. But I tell you, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in His Word. Beloved, He's coming. Are you ready? In my distress, there's coming a day when there'll be no more distress. Won't that be wonderful? No more trials. We were taking a picture. I was gonna kind of word this funny, just see if I get you to laugh. Charity and Elizabeth, we were all together yesterday afternoon. Elizabeth's babies, Ava and Amelia. And Maggie, you'd like this. I made a mistake and called Ava Amelia. You know what she did? She looked up and said, "Hi, Ava." I hadn't been at the church long when I think I called Maggie Braley. I'm not Braley. I'm Maggie. Never done that again. Amen. But I'm trying to be careful. We had four grandchildren there, and we wanted to get a picture of them in a pear tree. Not a partridge, four grandchildren. We're going to hang them in a pear tree. Get a picture of them. I thought that'd make a good picture. But Sawyer, he's usually the one that's first out, first up. But see, just recently, he broke his wrist. Was it his left hand, wasn't it? And Sawyer was real timid, even a bit about being that high off the ground yesterday. You know what? You say, Pastor, what's going on? He's learned something. He's learned at the bottom of that fall, sometimes there can be pain. Amen? I said all that to say this, you and I, beloved, that have walked with the Lord, surely we've learned something. In our times of distress, we don't need to look down. We don't need to look around. We need to look up. Lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I pray, our Father, this morning, there may be someone here, Lord, that's lost. They don't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. They need hope. They need help. Lord, I know the night that I came to you, you sure did help me. You sure did put in me, Lord, a hope, a reason to live, a reason to serve you, a reason to love you. It's my prayer, Lord, for your people today that are going through trying times. Their hearts are crushed. God, that you'd help them to lift up their eyes unto the hills, realizing, Lord, the God that made that hill is the God that lives in them. Lord, you said you have all power in heaven and earth. Help us to trust you more and more each day of our life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to sing a song of invitation.